Hello, Florida Bar members and Florida registered paralegals. This is a quick reminder from the Standing Committee on Mental Health and Wellness of Florida Lawyers that you are approved to use the Florida Lawyers Helpline, a completely free and confidential around-the-clock helpline designed to support you in managing the challenges of both your personal and professional life. By dialing 833-FL1-WELL or 833-351-9355, you can connect with mental health professionals who are ready to assist you. Take advantage of up to 5 complimentary in-person or telehealth counseling sessions annually, and remember, there's no limit to the number of calls you can make. Reach out today.
You're listening to the Florida Bar Podcast, brought to you by the Florida Bar's Practice Resource Center, Legal Fuel. Produced by the broadcast professionals of the Florida Bar.
Welcome to the Florida Bar's Legal Fuel Podcast, brought to you by the Practice Resource Center of the Florida Bar. We are so glad you are joining us. I'm Autumn Chadwell. I'm the newest member of the Practice Resource Center and one of the hosts of the show, which is being recorded from our studio in Tallahassee, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Moore. I'm a practice management advisor at the Florida Bar and co-host of today's podcast. Our goal at the Practice Resource Center is to assist Florida attorneys with running the business side of their law practices. We focus on a different topic each month and carry the theme through our website with related tips, videos, and articles.
Board certification recognizes an attorney's special knowledge, skill, and experience in a specific area of law. Established in 1982 by the Florida Supreme Court, board certification helps consumers identify specialists in 27 different areas of practice. Although the certification program has been an option for over 4 decades, only around 4% of the Florida Bar members are certified. So today we are speaking with Lisa McNellis about all things board certification, including the benefits of becoming board certified and what the committees look for in an application.
Lisa McNellis is a partner at the South Florida law firm of Roselli and McNellis. She graduated from the University of Notre Dame and attended law school at Nova Southeastern College of Law. She has been board certified in civil trials since 1996. For more than 40 years, Lisa has represented the injured and their families, initially becoming the first female partner at the well-respected law firm in Fort Lauderdale, and thereafter opening her own law firm with her husband. Lisa has served on various boards and committees over the years, including Family Central, Broward Legal Aid, and Florida Legal Aid. She is currently serving as chairperson of the Palm Beach Grievance Committee and the Florida Bar Civil Trial Certification Committee. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we're going to get started with something simple. Just tell us a little about yourself and how you first became interested in becoming board certified.
Well, that's a loaded question. I believe that attorneys are the athletes of the mind. And many attorneys are drawn to the profession because of the drive to be the best. For me, my desire to be board certified came from 3 forces. The first was from family. The second driving force came from my mentors at the firm I joined right after law school, Krupnik, Campbell, Malone, and Roselli. As most trial firms in the 80s, it was 99% male attorneys. But my partners like Skip Campbell, a great lawyer and political force, and Rick Roselli, who was then president of the Florida Trial Lawyers, required all the lawyers in the firm to be actively involved in the community and bar organizations, and also to work up every case to take it to the distance to trial, and to become board certified. The third force is that innate character that I love about being a lawyer, and that is the ability to constantly learn from changing laws, current cases, and each other. And so, certification, in my opinion, is a wonderful gift to yourself, to acknowledge that you've attained the top level of your profession. And the requirements of recertification in board certification require you to hold yourself accountable to continue to learn and practice at the highest level of competence so you can best serve your clients.
Very good. So in our intro, we mentioned that only 4% of our Florida Bar members are board certified. So that's a very small percentage. So can you kind of take us through the process of what it's like to prepare for this? So, I mean, obviously, it seems like it has a lot involved to get ready for the exam. So can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. First of all, for the listeners, I want to encourage each of you to keep track of your cases and the work you do over the years and the contacts you've made, because that is part of the certification process. There are many areas of board certification for lawyers practicing in Florida. Most of them include the requirement of 5 years of practice, substantial involvement in your area of practice, peer review, continued legal education, and an examination. And if I may, I'd like to quickly go through the list of the different areas of potential board certification so the listeners may hear the topic or the practice that they're involved in and be encouraged to work towards board certification. There's 27 different areas of board certification here in Florida: admiralty, adoption, antitrust, appellate practice, aviation, business litigation, government, civil trial, condominium law, construction law, criminal law, criminal appellate law, education, elder law, health law, immigration, intellectual property, international law, international litigation and arbitration, juvenile law, labor and employment law, family law, real estate, state and federal government law, tax law, wills, trusts, and estates, workers' compensation. So those are some of the areas that are available for people that want to become board certified and for consumers looking for a lawyer in specific areas. Now, some of the requirements for those different areas of law require trials, for instance, in civil trial work. Most of them include a requirement for peer review. Some of those peers in different areas of practice don't necessarily have to be lawyers. Most include a peer review from a judge that you've appeared before. But the specific requirements for instance, in civil trial certification that I'm involved in, is that you have to practice law for at least 5 years. And that's why I encourage the younger lawyers to start now keeping track of your work and the cases or the trials or the memos that you've created, because those are going to come back for you to use in the application for certification. So besides practicing at least 5 years, you have to have substantial involvement in your specialty. And that means more than 50% usually of your practice would have to be in the 3 years before the application that you make for whichever certification you choose. For civil trial law, you have to have handled at least 15 contested civil trial cases that include cases before juries as lead counsel and components of the trial, such as voir dire, opening, closing, or direct. And in a jury trial, that would be cases where the jury is sworn to testimony and testimony is taken before a jury. We've recently added county court cases to the 15 cases that are required in civil trial certification, but the county court case must result in a verdict rendered by the jury. A non-jury county court case does not count. You also need, as far as the application to become certified, 50 hours of approved continuing legal education in the 3 years before the application, peer review from 6 lawyers, one of which is a judge the applicant has appeared before in the past 2 years, and a written examination, which we can talk about later. But each of those certification areas that I've listed earlier have their own requirements. So I encourage the listeners, and particularly the lawyers, if you go to the floridabar.org website, in the middle of the page of that website, it's entitled Rules, Standards, and Jury Instructions. If you click on that box, a list of rules and standards pop up, and the rules regulating the Florida Bar is at the top of that list. At the top of that list, if you go into the rules regulating the Florida Bar, beginning at section 6-4 through section 6-31 are all the specifics of the requirements for board certification in the 27 different areas that Florida lawyers can be certified within. The other thing, while we're talking about the floridabar.org website, is important to all listeners, especially consumers looking for a lawyer. On the Florida Bar website at floridabar.org, under the Find an Attorney tab, which appears at the top right of the screen when you're on the Florida Bar website, anyone can search for a Florida board certified attorney in a specific area or field of practice. And they can even filter the search for a city or a county or a country. So it's a wonderful opportunity and mechanism for people to find a lawyer that's board certified in specific areas of law.
Very good. Very helpful.
So you mentioned the exam earlier. Can you tell us how you prepared for the exam, how you decided that you were going to get ready?
As far as the civil trial examination, my gut is that experience over time and trying cases is part of that preparation. And that is more likely than not why we require at least 5 years of practice before anyone prepare for certification in whatever their field may be. Specifically in the civil trial examination, and again, I'm going to preface it by saying every area of certification has different requirements. Some, for instance, may require you submit a memorandum that you've prepared. Some require answering a topic in their field of practice. So every examination for different areas may be different. Again, I encourage those that are interested to go to the website for the Florida Bar. In the different areas of certification, it's broken down, and many of those areas have a sample of the past exams or topics that will be covered. Specifically for civil trial work, the examination for that category covers the lawyer's litigation skills, like issue spotting, evaluating strengths and weaknesses of a case, case strategies, jury selection, trial objections, courtroom techniques, and anything that a trial lawyer in front of a jury would need to be the best at. The examination also covers the evidence code. It covers ethics, and it covers civil procedure. And in preparation for that, obviously, as a working lawyer, many lawyers need to keep up on the evidence code. All lawyers need to be aware of the rules of ethics and civil procedure, especially in the past few years when the rules have substantially changed in many areas, particularly for civil trial law. You need to review that. In regard to the civil trial certification, our committee sponsors through the Florida Bar a certification seminar where the different areas that would be covered are reviewed as far as case law and giving the attorneys that are interested in becoming certified the areas. We don't give them the questions, we don't give them the answers, but we give them the areas that maybe they need to be prepared for. And it's not an examination that you can easily walk into off the street and take. It requires, as most attorneys know, a review and studying in the weeks prior to the exam. And it's a good mechanism to elevate your practice and keep up on what you do. And there is a requirement in these fields of certification that each lawyer be recertified every 5 years. So once you take the examination and fulfill the requirements in the application, every 5 years you have to be recertified. And that doesn't require the examination. And by the way, the examination is not as bad as the Florida Bar examination to become an attorney, so I don't want to scare anyone away. But the recertification doesn't require an examination, but it does require you to be continuously involved in whatever your field of practice is. It requires, in regard to the civil practice, 2 contested civil trials in those past 5 years. And peer review again, this time only with 3 lawyers and 1 judge, with the continued legal education. We do have a waiver component if a civil trial lawyer has been continuously certified for 14 or more years. And there are, of course, components for special causes, such as for judges or for health reasons. But it's certification to me is a wonderful way to test your ability once you've gotten out of law school and once you've continued to practice to ensure that you are still at the highest level that you can maintain in your practice to give that to your clients.
Okay, perfect. So you took the exam, you met all the requirements, and now you are officially board certified in civil trial. When you began to advertise yourself that way, did you notice any changes?
I think there's a real benefit to being board certified. And it begins with people looking for a lawyer. The board certification provides an objective measure that a potential client can rely on when selecting a lawyer. By becoming board certified, the lawyer joins an existing network and an online directory of specialists in that field. And those specialists frequently refer others to specialists in their fields of practice. And to me, I think that board certification has enhanced the stature of our law firm. For those thinking about it, it may result in lower malpractice rates. Overall, to me, board certification for my practice, I feel, has made me a better lawyer because it's held me accountable to know that law, to know the changes, and provide A-plus representation to each and every one of our clients. I think it's no secret that lawyers tend to have big egos. And some get to the age where they think they know it all. But the law is continuously changing. And the certification process requires those certified to continue to participate and keep up on those changes in the law. Secondly, with over 100,000 lawyers in Florida, at its core, certification helps clients choose which one is best for them. Most people have never hired a lawyer. If a lawyer is board certified, those clients are assured that whoever they choose has the knowledge and experience to give them the best representation. So, in the scary process for a layperson who may never have had experience in the legal system, who may never have had to choose a lawyer for their concern or their problem or the predicament they're in, I'd like to believe that our clients are comfortable with our lawyers guiding them through the process.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a recent article in the Florida Bar News, and it was by Roger Futterman. He's the chair of the Criminal Trial Certification Committee, and he made a comparison between if you need to have surgery and you're choosing a board-certified surgeon versus a non-board-certified surgeon. And he was comparing that to, of course, a board-certified attorney. And you kind of highlighted a lot of those aspects. So would you, in your career, have you had, you know, your clients come to you and say, hey, I picked you because you are board-certified. That made a difference to me. Have you had an experience with that?
Absolutely. And the other part of that is that you're right. When you choose a specialist, you want to choose a specialist in the practice that you're concerned about. So many times we get calls from clients that have an issue that we do not specialize in. And the first thing that I do in trying to help them is go to the Florida Bar website, look for the area of law that they're concerned about, and choose a few attorneys within that area, within the caller's geographical area, that may be best able to help them. So I think with the internet and social media, clients and potential callers are concerned to get the best representation. And sometimes they don't know that there are different specialists. And I think it's our job, ethically, that if we don't practice in that area and someone calls us out of the blue because they've heard our name or seen a sign or thought to call us, that I think we're ethically required to, if we don't do that practice, to make sure that person can be aware that there are specialists in that area and be kind enough to provide them some of the options of specialists in different certified areas of practice.
Yeah, That definitely makes a lot of sense.
Lisa, you've mentioned recertification a few times, and you've been certified since 1996, which means you've gone through that process quite a few times because it occurs once every 5 years. Do you feel that there are benefits to going through the process every 5 years? I know you don't have to retake the exam, but you still have to go through peer review and the trials. What are the benefits to you and to your clients of going through recertification?
Simply because it keeps you updated on the law. As I mentioned, the law's changed. The law continues to change. New case law comes out. And the requirements of recertification requiring you to, again, have that peer review, to have continued legal education, requires you, and most want to anyway, to keep up on the law and continue to practice in your field at the highest level. Because otherwise, we fall into the trap of assuming we know it all and assuming we know what the statutes and the law is and assuming we're doing the best for our clients. When the reality is, you've got to keep up on the changes. Otherwise, you're not giving your client the best representation and you're not putting your best self forward for the community and for lawyers. And that's why we encourage lawyers, if you don't specialize in a particular field, don't take on that case. Refer it to a specialist, someone that is board certified in that area of law, because that person will be assured, no matter if they are 25 or 30 or 50 or 70, that person, if they are board certified, they've been recertified and looked at again to make sure they're at their highest level of practice.
Yes, definitely. So being the chair of the committee, how has that changed your view of just board certification? Have you offered some tips and things that you believe should be implemented or changed? Or since you've been board certified for quite a long time, have you brought that knowledge in to make any changes?
Great question. First of all, let's just talk about committees in general for lawyers. It's a wonderful opportunity, whether you're interested in board certification or whatever you're interested. There are many committees within the Florida Bar that I encourage even the younger lawyers to get involved in. Some of my closest friends have been from committees and organizations that I got involved in very, very early in my career that become your friends and your mentors, people that you can bounce something off of, whether it's home life and how to juggle it all, or whether it is something to do with a case or an area of practice that you're not specializing in. And so I encourage everyone, whether it's board certification that you're interested in or another area, to join a committee. And sometimes it's scary for young lawyers. I realize that when you're walking into a room full of other committee members that may be older or more established or have name recognition, but it's a great way to socialize. It's a great way to learn whatever that committee is. And it's very helpful to expand your knowledge besides sitting at a desk looking at a book and trying to do the best for a client. I think that by joining a committee, you learn a lot. And it might not be a committee that you ever thought you'd be involved in, but you have to take a chance, and I think that's a really great opportunity. As far as the civil trial committee, over the years, particularly in civil trial work, and since COVID, my view is that the opportunity for lawyers to become certified by obtaining the 15 trial requirement to initially become certified, and even the two trial requirement every 5 years to be recertified is more difficult. And one of the things we encourage is part of the requirements for civil trial board certification is not necessarily that you try the entire case as the lead counsel, but it's that maybe you worked on a few components of the trial. Maybe you handled some witness cross-examinations. Maybe you picked the jury or you did voir dire. But we encourage, and in our committee, we recognize that even the older lawyers, and I tip my hat to them, that have given the younger lawyers a seat at that trial table, that they are giving those younger lawyers the opportunity to accumulate that experience in a trial so that they can meet the qualifications of being a board-certified civil trial attorney. We recognize as a committee that those lawyers that have more experience, that have been practicing for a long time, now are at the point in their life where they have the opportunity to mentor young lawyers to do the trial work or to do the other work in different specialized fields. And that lawyer that is the older mentoring lawyer should also be recognized in certification for those fields that they're in.
And I just wanted to add something too about committees in case anyone is interested, because you mentioned the benefits of joining even as a young attorney. That application typically opens mid-December of every year, or I believe maybe the beginning of December, actually, I apologize, and then closes mid-January. So keep an eye on that. You can find that application in the member portal. There's typically a tab there that you can click on and you can apply to any of those committees, because we do get that question a lot in our department. And the president-elect is the one that, you know, helps compile those committees, just so throwing that out there so everyone is aware of that.
And the committees are easier these days than they had been in the past, because most of the committees meet via Zoom. So you can do it at the comfort of your own office. The meetings that we do have for whatever committee you're on are generally a few times a year, depending on what you're interested in, at a Florida Bar convention or a seminar. So I really encourage everyone to get involved in something, because it expands your knowledge and expands your social life. You know, life is more than just working in an office. And dare I say, it's fun to meet other people that do the same type of work or have similar interests than you. So I encourage people to get involved in whatever committee they are.
Yeah.
The other important thing that I think that we should touch on to the listeners is there's a difference between being board certified and those that say they're an expert or a specialist. Do you want to go into that a bit?
Yeah, no, I think that would be an important point to touch on.
So in, I think it was, I don't even know how long ago, not long ago now, the Florida Bar proposed and the Supreme Court approved a rule that non-certified lawyers could claim expertise or specialization if they objectively could verify their claim to be an expert or specialist based on their education, training, experience, and substantial involvement in the area of practice, which their specialization or expertise is claimed. It's important to know that the Florida Bar does not pre-certify that information, but The enforcement of that comes when there is a grievance filed against the lawyer, who then would have to present their credentials that to the Florida bar, to the disciplinary arm of the bar, to verify whether or not their claim was objectively verifiable. So there's an important distinction that I think the lawyers need to be cognizant of, and that listeners need to be aware of when they're searching for a lawyer. Whereas board certification requires the continued examination of the continuing legal education, the peer review, and the steps. If a lawyer merely is stating that they're a specialist or an expert, the factors have to be objective and may be based on other things other than what the Florida bar views a person that is board certified.
Very good.
Lisa, you've given us so much wonderful information today. I know Jamie and I have learned so much more about board certification than we ever even thought we knew. Do you have any advice for our listeners who are interested in starting the board certification process?
The best advice that I give to all attorneys, especially the young attorneys, is keep a folder now of the cases you've worked on. For civil trial lawyers, the trials that you've been in. Look at the application of the area you're interested in to see what the requirements are. For example, in wills and trusts, you need substantial involvement. You need to show the frequency of the work and the nature of the issues that you're involved in. For criminal certification, you need a memo of law to show the certification committee of work you've done. For appellate lawyers, you need a copy of pleadings that you filed. For workers' compensation certification, in the application, you need to show 25 contested workers' compensation cases that you've been involved in over the years. And we forget. When we work on one case and we close it, we go on to another, and many times we forget the specifics of that other case that we've worked on. And the application process, particularly in civil trial work, requires you to give information as to the case style, the judge, the amount of the controversy, the outcome of the case, the opposing counsel name and address. And the other component that you should keep track of are who your peers are that could substantiate the type of work you do, that you are ethical, that you are professional, that you have a good community around you, and that you represent yourself well to that community. So I started very early on having a green pleading file folder where every time I tried a case, I would put that verdict and the information about that case in that folder. And I'd keep a list of defense attorneys I worked with, as well as plaintiff's attorneys that I worked with. So if in the future that I needed them for a recommendation for the area I was striving for, I would be able to reach out to them and ask them if they'd be kind enough to recommend me. And again, I think by being continuously involved in whatever committees that you choose, by being present outside of your office, I think that's how it prepares yourself to have the confidence enough to become board certified, to become the best you are. I think we all, as lawyers, and the public listeners would appreciate that we go to law school because we want to be the best. We want to be the best in whatever field that we intend to practice. And I think that as we go through our practice, we tend to either think that we know it all or start to lose the confidence that we can continue to retain that status of being the best. There's an innate part of you that wants to be the best. There's an innate part of you that wants to best serve your clients, because we want to be kind. We want to be helpful. We want to help our community. And I think by having the confidence that you can do it, you've gotten through law school, you've been the best in your field, you have to have the confidence that you can do it. And I encourage everybody to become board certified.
Very good. Well, it looks like we've reached the end of our program. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you again for having me.
If you like what you heard today, please rate us in Apple Podcasts. Join us next time for another episode of the Florida Bar's Legal Fuel Podcast, brought to you by the Practice Resource Center of the Florida Bar. I'm Autumn Chadwell.
And I'm Jamie Moore. Until next time, thank you for listening.
If you'd like more information about today's show, please visit legalfuel.com. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to the Florida Bar's podcast via iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and RSS. Find the Florida Bar's Practice Resource Center, Legal Fuel, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, the Florida Bar. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer.
Are you looking to grow your practice? Consider joining the Florida Bar's Lawyer Referral Service. There's never been a better time to apply because we are currently waiving the $125 annual fee, so members who qualify can join the Florida Bar LRS for free. All panel members of the Florida Bar Lawyer Referral Service must be licensed in Florida, must be members in good standing, and must carry a minimum of $100,000 in professional liability insurance to participate. Panel members must also maintain an office physically located in one of the 52 Florida counties served by the Florida Bar Lawyer Referral Service. For more information and to apply, please go to floridabar.org/LRS.